then? Which one?
Yeah, it played Christopher, it didn't come through live.
We're already live?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right, Christina.
Alrighty, well, I guess we are live and have no intro music tonight. Sorry, everybody. Welcome to Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond with myself and Renee Chavez. Got a great show for you tonight. We are going to be speaking with Stephen D. Kelly, and we've got all kinds of topics that we're going to be discussing tonight. So we hope you enjoy the show. How are you, Renee? What's going on?
I'm doing great. You know, I just been running around like crazy today, but made it in time to jump onto the show and to hear this great information.
Well, I am too, and Stephen is actually a personal friend of mine, and I always love talking to him. He just has so much information. He has connections that you wouldn't believe, and the insider information he is able to get that, you know, not only is just mind-blowing, you know, also is able to be verified. And Stephen has his own, you know, radio show that he discusses all this stuff. He does interviews all the time, and I was so looking forward to it. And most people know I just got back from Las Vegas for my birthday, and I am also in the process of moving, so I'm glad that I didn't completely forget and you would have been, you know, doing the show yourself tonight. Not that you couldn't do it by yourself, but I mean, I would be kicking myself in the rear end that I booked, you know, my good friend, and then, you know, I forgot the show. Yeah, I guess that's what getting old happens, does when you get old, you forget.
I wasn't going to say anything. Hey, I'm older than you, though.
Well, I know. I don't know what it is. Maybe my brain's just going. I have no idea. I was trying to just go with the old, you know, I'm getting old, so my memory is leaving, but whatever.
Well,
I'm here,
find
I guess that's all that matters,
Vegas.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess with all that being said, you know, tonight we are going to be talking about a whole bunch of different topics tonight, and one of real interest, and we've talked a little bit about it in our other shows about the Malaysia Airlines, and I'm going to talk about some of the, you know, with all of these UFO sightings, you know, the Earth. I think we're going to have so many, you know, different topics that we will definitely be able to go for the 2 hours. So if anybody has any questions tonight for myself, Renee, or Stephen, or actually even have some input that you'd like to put in, the phone number tonight is 607-349-0410. So with that being said, let's go ahead and start the show. Stephen, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Christina.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming to the show tonight. I so appreciate it.
No problem. Glad to be here.
You've been quite the busy man. I see that you're doing lots of interviews as well as, you know, your own show, correct?
Well, I guess with all the things that are going on in the world, a few people are interested in hearing my opinion about some of these things, you know, and yourself included, I suppose. So yeah, it's nice to be able to try to answer some questions and make these things a little more clear, perhaps.
Well,
so,
you know,
anyway,
let's start
yeah.
out for the people who don't know you, can you give a little bit of the background of yourself and, you know, kind of how you do have all this inside information and come about a lot of the information that you come by?
Yeah, okay, sure. You know, gosh, I would like to think that most people out there that are listening to stuff know who I am by now, but for those of you that don't, I was sort of, I got involved with the CIA and the NSA and the Templars and the Bilderbergers, and this started at a relatively young age. And so a lot of people, you know, are waking up today and kind of reevaluating their truths. And this happened to me quite a while ago, so I had a bit of a head start. For whatever reason, because of my technical background or because of my bloodline or whatever, I was exposed to a lot of stuff that people might not be exposed to others. You know, I didn't look at stuff, but I made a decision, you know, some time ago that the best thing that I could do to serve people was to just share my experiences, and hopefully that will help them to reevaluate what they perceive to be real, and you know, try to help with this transition that we're in the process of right now.
Great. And
that's pretty brief,
yeah,
huh?
I think that, yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of people do know who you are. I mean, I know that I've, you know, talked to many people that I know, and, you know, the circles are pretty big of people who come to know about, you know, other people in the field. But so much is going on, and I do feel that people, we are finally at a point where people are starting to wake up and realize that a lot of this information that we are being fed is absolutely not true. It's whatever the government feels is the best story, you know, for the time, you know, or for whatever their plan is. Well, we're seeing it, and one of the probably the biggest topics that I'm seeing online and throughout a lot of the forums is that they feel that disclosure is coming. My opinion is that, you know, yes, it is coming. I just don't think it's going to be the way that other people see it. They seem to think that, you know, our president's going to go out on the White House lawn and say, hey, guess what? You know, I'm the good guy. I'm just going to tell you that the government's been lying to you all this time, and I'm going to give you the truth. What are your feelings on disclosure?
I agree with you. I think that what's going on right now in the world, the events in Ukraine, the Malaysian airliner, and everything else on top of each other, it's really a complex situation. But yes, I definitely see this as leading up to disclosure. We have motherships being reported and being cited by multiple sources. It's getting more mainstream. But I do feel that now it's even more important for us in this field to do our best to help people understand how necessary it is to have an open mind and to take everything with a grain of salt, and no matter what it is that we're going to get exposed to, this disclosure, we have to be wary, even if it's just extraordinary, we still have to be ready to, you know, well, what I've been trying to tell everybody is that beam ships and motherships and aliens and this sort, they could appear any day, but they may just be humans. They may be Earth humans. They may be Nazis from New Schabenland. This is one of the reasons why I've been trying to work so hard to get people talking about that whole episode, Operation Paperclip, Operation High Jump, New Schabenland, Hollow Earth, the Nazi UFOs, Victor Schauberg, all that. This is very, very important to become exposed to all of that information so that when we are confronted with incredible events that we be able to discern, you know, what it is that we're dealing with. So that's very important. But the other thing about this whole disclosure issue that's also and frustrating at the same time is that even if UFOs or beam ship were to, motherships were to appear in the sky and land in front of us tomorrow, we'd still be arguing about who it was, what it was, or what they're here for, and everything else. So it's like the humans definitely have a problem with needing to over the tip, even seeing the big picture. And, you know, I mean, it's very frustrating when I hear people all the time saying, give me proof, I deserve proof, I'm not going to believe it until I see it for myself and you prove it to me, as if the world owes them proof. And basically everybody needs
right.
to go out there and do their own homework. So
right.
that's all I can say.
I so agree. I so agree. And with all of the reverse engineering and you know, working with, you know, other alien races, I mean, we have, you know, worldwide, I mean, there are other countries as well as our own that, you know, have our own, you know, alien craft. So, I mean, I think that in a big part, it is to confuse us because, you know, it's like, okay, it's like these grand schemes and it's almost like a game to them, you know, and it's like, okay, well, we'll tell them that it doesn't exist, and then, okay, well, now we'll say maybe it does exist, but, you know, now they're all evil, and then, well, you know, we'll change it this way, and, you know, then we've got our chemtrails, and I mean, just everything that's going on is, it's so conflicting that, you know, we are so used to allowing ourselves to be programmed, that anything that is told to us, we just believe. It's just that's the way it's always been. You know, we feel that we're going to be protected by our government and they wouldn't lie to us. And then all of a sudden when all of the proof starts coming out that there has been so many lies, you know, told to us and it's people start questioning everything, I feel like they're almost more confused now than any time because now it's like they've got all this information, so it's like, you know, what do you believe, what do you not believe, and the fact that we're not being given, you know, like, direction of what to believe, what not to believe, is so conflicting that, like, people are like robots. They're like, well, what do? I haven't been programmed to, you know, what's going on. I can't choose for myself. I don't know what to do. In your opinion, you know, where do you think that if, say, you know, we do know, obviously, that we are seeing things, crafts and motherships and things like that. We've been seeing them, you know, all over the place. But do you think that a big majority of them are actually our own government or other governments' craft? Or do you think that, you know, they are actually the alien beings, or do you think that it's a mixture of both?
You know, that's a pretty complex question, and you've got to look at all of the you got to look at the politics and the different players because it,
right.
it, like you said, it's very much a mixture. And if we look at the some of the politics here first, we know that the different entities that are flying these beam ships, you know, things, creatures that we would consider aliens or higher density creatures above the human third density that we occupy right now. We know we have the service to self entities, which would be the reptoids and the greys, the guys that we expect actually are controlling the Earth and probably have been controlling the Earth for much longer than our modern human history. And then we have the service to other types, which would tend to be the Palladians and the human aliens and what we would call the good guys. There it would appear that there is actually a space battle going on, a Star Wars, if you will, between these two, the STOs and the STS, and the Earth. The entities that we're being told that the Earth is having to defend itself against are actually the good ones that are coming here to do battle with the bad guys that have been essentially our slave masters for many, many epochs. And another thing that you've got to consider, if the Earth is indeed hollow, we have entities that would be living inside of here, and we don't, you know, and I'm not going to suggest that they're reptoid, gray, humanoid, Pleiadian, or what have you. They could be Anunnaki, who knows. But
right.
And whether or not their service is self or service to others, so certainly they could be flying these craft. And then as far as humans, we know that the Nazis have been flying beam ships that look exactly like the same thing the Palladians are flying around practically, and they've been flying these things since the 40s. So their technology is certainly very sophisticated by now. I'm sure they've been continuing to develop this up until today. So a lot of the craft that we see flying around could certainly be non-American per se, but actually of this earth from the Nazis who inhabited New Schwabenland, possibly either from an Antarctic base or bases in Brazil, or even bases in the center of the earth, in the hollow earth, which is a very good possibility. So then, yes, so that bottom line, we can, and then again, there's also the beam ships that have been created here on Earth that have been de-engineered from technology that we got as a result of our Roswell treaty that we made. So yeah, there's
right.
lots of potential sources for these things.
So it did really, they did do all this to kind of keep us in constant chaos and confusion. So we really wouldn't kind of know who's the good and who's the bad.
Well, you know, that's another very important point, you know, because, you know, you brought up the, you know, the GMOs and the chemtrails and all this stuff. There's just so much going on that would appear, you know, negative, trying to poison humanity and doing all these terrible, terrible things. And it's really hard to understand the motives for any entity that would be doing anything like that, because there's always multiple motives that seem to be conflicting.
Right.
Certainly, yeah. So certainly you could say that these the evil entities, the malevolent entities, definitely feel that it's necessary to reduce the human population to probably exert more control over us. And I think that may be because we are going through a transition. We are moving into a fourth density reality, which would put us more on a equal footing with these entities that already exist in the fourth density.
Now, we also have, you know, we've been talking about this for, you know, at least a few years, which is the FEMA camp. And, you know, before they were trying to say, you know, no, we don't have any such thing as FEMA camps. And, you know, then when Jesse Ventura, you know, came forward and, you know, actually started showing some of these, then, you know, they changed a little bit more and they were saying, well, you know, yeah, these are our FEMA camps, but reunification camps. So in case of national disaster or things like that. And, you know, but now all of a sudden we're seeing, you know, all of these tanks being brought in. We're seeing these places are not only stocked and staffed, but ready to go. You know, do you think that all plays into it as well? Because, I mean, of course, if something big was to happen and, you know, say there was, you know, an attack or something like that, then, of course, Obama could, he's already, you know, said that he can still, you know, martial law at any time.
Well, you know, Christina, there's, you know, if you look at the situation right now, it's as bad as it is with all the ridiculous amounts of corruption and what have you that's going on in this country and in the world today. It's just absolutely amazing that the people aren't completely revolting over just, you know, any one of a number of issues, you know, and it's really hard to put your finger on anything that should really be pushing the people in the streets. But I think that the what the Federal Reserve has done to the United States with the stealing of all the money, this is reason enough, you know, and the criminality of these leaders, you know, these so-called leaders, the members of Congress, the Supreme Court, obviously the executive branch, the levels of corruption are just so incredible. It's really hard to be a true light worker and somebody who is love and light based and not be calling for the execution of some of these so-called leaders out there. I mean, you know, I try to be Christ-like, but then, you know, I would call for the execution of the Rothschilds immediately, the entire clan, and anybody that is going on down. If you look at, I mean, you know, where you stop, the law enforcement community right now, the police are, you know, instead of serving and protecting us, they've become so fascist and so criminal in just about everything that they do and above the law. And we are so far past the boiling point, and I suspect that it, behind the scenes there is a coup taking place, and I think that the you know, this, like you're talking about these FEMA camps, I think that these guys are just looking for an excuse to go into their bunkers and basically burn everything on the surface and start over again. You know, otherwise, I mean, how else can you explain just the crazy things these people do, like John McCain trying to suggest that we need to go to war with Russia? I mean, that's absolute suicide. And the only people that could even say that are people that know that they have gold-plated bunkers waiting for them. You know, they don't care how far they push the world into war and destruction, because they feel that when the time is right, they can go into their little bunkers and close the doors, and it's all going to be good. But as far as the FEMA camps are concerned, certainly, you know, just the gun owners, just the dissidents, people like myself that are every day out there railing against the corruption in the government and the satanic nature of everything that's going on. I mean, one of these days they're either going to show up at the door and kill me outright or drag me off to one of these camps. You just know it. And there's certainly re-education. I mean, come on, there is no re-education. I mean, those of us that are screaming the loudest, you know, if we were afraid of what they have planned, we wouldn't be doing this. But, you know, so clearly fear is not an issue here. This is a life and death struggle, and we're making, those of us making the most noise, we know exactly what we're doing, and we know exactly what the risks are and the danger, and I don't know about you, but I embrace it. And, I say bring it on, you know.
Right.
So I just hope that before I get, you know, taken out, that I will have touched as many people and will have done the job that I was put here for.
Yeah, so. And I completely feel exactly the same way. I mean, I feel like if you're going to stand up for something, you know, stand up for something that makes sense. I mean, people are, you know, arguing and complaining and fighting about things that, you know, are so not even important, but yet they're afraid to talk about these kind of topics. And mm-hmm. You know, for me, it's like there is no topic that, you know, when it comes to this, that is, you know, off, you know, out, you know, off limits or you know, off the subject. I go full forward with it. I mean, hey, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I mean, if you don't stand up for something, you know, it's right. Like what's the point, you know?
Right.
Renee, I know that you were wanting to say something. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, because I was in total agreement with that. Because even with all, you know, we mentioned about, you know, the whole brutality of, you know, the cops around, you know, around the U.S. Actually just beating people down just senselessly, and even causing, you know, the deaths of even innocent people. And here we got a crowd of people around the area, you know, spending more time taking videos of it. And it's just amazing that nobody is, you know, sounding off, you know, to get the word out that this isn't really going on, rather than just showing it on YouTube. It's just like people are just too afraid to really step up. And, you know, because they literally are throwing away their rights when they do that. You know, when they try to tell them to stop videotaping it, and it's like, well, it's my right, it's my right. But it'll go as far as going on YouTube. So it takes a lot more than just, you know, taking a few videos to make a point and to get people to really learn how to stand up.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, okay, we're talking about the underground bases, and, you know, that's a big thing, you know, for me, because, you know, again, it seems like it probably with whatever topic that we were to talk about tonight, you know, there's going to be people who believe or don't believe, you know, I've always said I'm not here to try to, you know, force my ideas or opinions on anybody, the people who usually follow, you know, our shows, they're already here. They already know what's going on, you know, so they really embrace, you know, the guests and the discussions that we have. But, you know, when you get to the thing about the underground and Hollow Earth and underground establishments and things like that, there are so many. I find out or hear through the grapevine about new ones, you know, all the time. But we're also seeing, you know, so many more earthquakes, volcanoes, eruption of supervolcanoes. I know that, like, here in Yellowstone, you know, they've been having a lot of extreme activity, you know, and out there in Los Angeles where you're at, Stephen, you know, you guys have been having a few, you know, big-sized, you know, earthquakes that, you know, are not normally, you know, I know we get earthquakes, but not, you know, higher up. You know, now we're seeing, you know, different areas, you know, where they're having 8.0s and things like that, new fault lines. Do you think that that those as well are being planned? And, you know, if we do have these major, you know, earthquakes, eruptions, things like that, do you think that it would disturb all of the underground, you know, places where, you know, the aliens and stuff are, which would create them to have to come above ground?
Good point. As far as the earthquakes are concerned, certainly I think that a lot of this is natural, having to do with the stresses of polarity shifts and terrestrial movements and stresses that mechanical stresses caused by gravity and changes, with the bodies nearby, you know, the sun, the moon, etc. But also at the same time, I believe that we are being manipulated. There's certainly a possibility that HAARP is being involved. I did talk to somebody here recently that told me that after the quake that we had here locally, the one here in L.A., that they saw some rainbow-looking colors in the sky just prior to the quake.
Yes.
And that's typically indicative of a scalar in the atmosphere just prior to the earthquake. So I know that they reported seeing the same thing prior to that big earthquake in China here recently. So that's kind of a telltale sign. They could be trying to trigger some sort of thing like the Yellowstone, you know, trying to cause some sort of mass, you know, catastrophe. Obviously, a tsunami is certainly a method of wiping out people and causing destruction and filling up those FEMA camps. As far as the ability of these things to withstand, that's an interesting point because, first of all, I heard that the one that took place here in Orange County or the L.A. area just last Friday or Saturday, whatever it was, actually was relatively shallow. You know, maybe a mile down or something like that, relatively close to the surface, which sometimes can indicate that it was a man-made event, and it probably also caused it to seem a little more violent to those of us that felt it. I know when the first one went off, the 5.4 or whatever it was, it seemed to last a long time. It wasn't that far away from me. The epicenter was only maybe 4 or 5 miles away from me. And it jolted pretty good. So a little scary. I mean, I've been through a lot. But as far as the vulnerability of these dumb bases to the earthquakes, I suspect that they're deep enough that they're probably pretty well set up to not, you know, I don't think that they're, it's not like they're just going to collapse. They're pretty darn pretty well built, and the way they build these things with these tunnels and the boring tubes and the nuclear tunnel building machines, I think structurally they're very sound. And if there was a fissure or some sort of a crack or something that was a fault that did affect one of these bases, I suspect that it would be somewhat localized and they would be able to deal with it. I mean, you remember, there's unlike the surface here, we our buildings and what you have on the surface are relatively two-dimensional in the grand scale of things. Our high-rises go up so high, but underground there's no limitation. They can build these things as high and as many levels as they want. I mean, there's basically something like 800 miles between the surface and the inside. So that's plenty of room for faults and magma and geological activity to take place. I think, there's so many of these bases scattered all over the place, all interconnected, that one earthquake is going to be somewhat localized and isn't really going to have that much effect on the entire system.
Right. And I was surprised at the one in Chile. They had like an 8.1 or something like that. I think they had a couple of them back to back that high. And we are starting to see a lot more, much larger quakes than we were, seeing in the past, and especially Yellowstone as well. And I was reading, and I know Renee kind of keeps on top of this for me as well. We really watch like the earthquakes and the volcanoes, and they were saying that somewhere they have found a new super volcano or something, and there's stuff going on. So, I mean, of course, those would be some great ways to take out some, large masses of people. I mean, as you said, with a big earthquake, and then if you trigger a tsunami along with that. But obviously, a volcano is something, I mean, that could be very, very devastating, in a much grander scale. So those kind of things concern me. I've had visions, I think, since last year continuously of, not only of an earthquake, but a tsunami and volcanoes going off, like, all at a fairly close proximity of time, causing, some major panic. So, always try to keep on top of that. To be honest, I'm really kind of open to what we talk about tonight. I absolutely want to make sure that, towards the end of the show that we talk about, or actually at any point, about the Malaysian Airlines. I've actually been talking about this on a few of my shows lately, because, of course, we've had all these people who have been coming out and, especially a lot of psychics and putting their opinions out of what's going on. And, you've got people saying that they're remote viewing. You want to talk about that now, or would you rather talk some other topic leading up to that?
Let's go for it.
What are your thoughts on that? Okay.
All right. Like a lot of people, I was certainly leaning towards the mothership intervention. Especially since the sighting of the big mothership in the Ukraine, that seems to be pretty common knowledge now. People are not really disputing that. A lot of people who are not even really UFO types are accepting that, there is some big, huge thing floating around over the Ukraine that appears to be, they're suggesting it could be an American, but more than likely it's something else. Motherships have also been seen over Germany, photographed by multiple sources. Again, this whole issue with the Nazis in Middle Earth, we know that the Americans captured drawings for cigar-shaped craft when we invaded Germany, so we know that these guys have been working on that stuff, and they've certainly been seeing these things around South America for some time, which would certainly indicate, something possibly from New Schwabenland. Lately, though, I'm more inclined to lean towards the fact that the airliner was probably hijacked by a government, either the U.S. government or even possibly the Chinese. I think since 9/11, everybody knows now that every single one of these airliners has the ability to be flown by remote control at any given time. So that is a big deal. I've heard a lot of different scenarios. I mean, obviously, the issue with the Freescale executives that were on board the plane, the 20 executives
right.
from the Freescale Corporation, four of which were patent holders for a patent that now the only surviving signer on the patent or name on the patent is Evelyn de Rothschild, which should raise red flags for a lot of people. There's a lot of other speculation also. Some people have said that there was an atomic bomb on board or some sort of nuclear biological device that was destined to be exploded in Beijing, and that this was the reason why there was an interception by another group of entities, you know, a mothership type thing, because they were trying to
right.
prevent World War III. There's also, a very strong possibility that I'm leaning towards right now that it was indeed taken to Diego Garcia via remote control and flown to Diego Garcia. That certainly
yeah.
seems to be a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
That is highly likely. But then if you look at that, then what are the motives for that? The latest I've
right.
heard now is that there was some sort of top secret military hardware that was captured in Afghanistan by the Taliban, who offered this hardware to the Russians and to the Chinese, and the Chinese said that they would take it, and they were actually supposedly this hardware was loaded onto a civilian airliner and was being taken to China, and that the Americans found out that it was on board the plane, captured the plane, and repatriated this stolen equipment, and possibly are keeping the passengers in prison, imprisoned on Diego Garcia, or they were outright killed and the plane was flown in remote control into the ocean. So there's lots of scenarios, potential scenarios there.
Well, now what about, the I guess 28 scientists or whatever that were supposedly working on, the microchip, which has been, I guess, placed on all of our military, like our missile launchers, to fly our planes, all of these different things. One of the things that I have said from the beginning is that when you have people that are working with our government, that are working on, black budget projects or whatever, they rarely ever fly all together. Because
crazy.
Of the information that they know, right? I mean, because even, we know in a lot of these things, like one person, will work on one part of a project, but they will not know the whole project, to
right.
make sure that, they all have a piece or, a part that they play in, the big scenario. But, they don't want any one person to know everything so that they, couldn't like go sell their secrets to, the Russians or whatever. And the fact that they would all be flying together for me really, really brought up red flags because, it's almost unheard of to have that many people who are working on, the same project, that could, let's put it hypothetically, if you had all these people, you capture them all, they're on the airplane, you capture them all, they would then say this country, that whoever gets them, and they decided to, torture these people and get all the information. They get all this information and decide to attack us. They could literally deactivate all of our weaponry, everything to protect ourselves, and we'd be like sitting ducks. So to you, did that become, something that really stuck out too, of like, why would all these people be flying, together on a flight like that?
Well, you've got the Freescale guys, then supposedly you've got some IBN people, then you've got, there's multiple groups of individuals that all seem to have high value, from a technical standpoint and otherwise.
Ending up on the same place, right.
So again, it's this could be a U.S. maneuver. This could be a Chinese thing. They could have been, it's like obviously, if they were valuable, like you say, they could be valuable to any number of groups, you know, domestic and otherwise.
Right.
So, yeah. So whether or not they felt some need to capture them, either for intelligence or for economic reasons, or for even keeping, you know, there is also the possibility that there was that these individuals were defecting, for, you know, if you will, you know, going to the other side, perhaps. You know, there could be a lot. There could be issues that we're not aware of. It could be that they are all going over to China to basically, you know, turn over everything they knew to the Chinese. You know, we don't know this, because if you look at what's going on between, you know, especially with the Ukraine situation and the treaties and the defense relations that are being formed between the Russia and China, clearly there's some strategic gamesmanship going on that you know we can probably barely be aware of.
Right.
Well, and the other thing for me, too, was that, you know, we have these satellites, and it's not like we're the only ones, you know, that have satellites up in space. And these things can see, you know, us in a car, in a parking lot, you know, and be able to put us through facial recognition software and things like that. And these satellites go 24 hours a day. I could see how, you know, a plane flying, they could, you know, manipulate it where they would go off the radar and things like that. But I would still think that our satellites would still be able, they could go back through, you know, the tape and see where this airplane went.
Well, yeah, clearly. The U.S. government knows everything, and things like this don't. The only way that this thing could actually disappear without a trace, like they're suggesting happened, is if it was indeed taken by a mothership or something that was able to swallow it up and basically silence all of the signals. But if there was an EMP weapon, some sort of an EMP weapon being used by either the U.S. or the Chinese or someone else, it is possible that it was able to shut down all the electronics and all the communications and any kind of uplink to the plane, because we do know that, I mean, obviously the cell phones alone would have been able to be triangulated to that point. Certainly the satellites would have been able to follow it. Certainly the aircraft, air controllers would have been able to follow it. And we also know that the companies that make the engines, the jet engines, Rolls-Royce, et cetera, have satellite uplinks to every single motor, and they know what RPM, what's going on, fuel temperature, you know, air pressure, et cetera, et cetera. They know everything, and that just doesn't turn off. Even when the plane's sitting on the tarmac, it's constantly uploading data to archives over at Rolls-Royce. So, you know, so somebody knows something. These didn't just, you know, I mean, where's Rolls-Royce or whoever coming out and saying, oh, yeah, the motors, all four motors on this jet just went dead at X moment at X position. So clearly there's some
for
silence.
Me,
right.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, where I'm at. It's just, you know, it's like every time somebody goes on, you know, air with, you know, some new epiphany that they got, and you know, it's like it's so out in left field, or they'll say, okay, now we're almost for sure that it was crashed into the ocean because now we see all this debris. You know, first it would just happen to be, you know, in a place where the water and the seas are so rough and, you know, you can't see it. Then they finally get people down there to look, and of course they're finding just, you know, garbage and debris, but it's not that they can say from this airliner. And I kept saying, well, you know, you would think, yeah, I've seen many airline crashes and, you know, into the oceans and seas and things like that. And a lot of times there will be a lot of debris, and we're not seeing anything. We're not seeing, like, you know, seats or big pieces or anything. So it's just like each time that they come out and say something, I mean, I saw how the Malaysian government had sent the families of the passengers text messages saying, we just want to let you know that it's pretty much a positive thing now that, you know, they're dead. It went into the ocean and nobody survived. I couldn't even imagine. Could you imagine having your family, you know, a family member on this plane? The government, you know, cannot tell you where this plane went, where it went down, where it could possibly be, all these things. And then you get a text message saying, hey, sorry, but we think your family member is dead. You know, you don't even have the courtesy to have somebody call you and tell you something like this. You have to get it. That's like, you know, like having be notified of anything horrible through a text message. It's just the information they get, it blows my mind. I can't even see some of the things that they're coming up with to tell people as if it's true, you know, and then every week it right. changes or every couple of days it changes.
Well, I just got to say that, you know, when we look at these scenes of the family, distraught family members at the airport in Beijing, it's so reminiscent of the Sandy Hook and, you know, the crisis actors. So, you know, when you see that, you almost got to think, is this the Sandy Hook of air disasters? Did this ever really happen? Are we being distracted or what's the deal here? Oh, and then the other thing is the guy that said he worked for IBM that said he hid his cell phone in his rear end and pulled it out to take a picture of the plane landing at Diego Garcia.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of people are trying to say that's disinfo and what have you. But at the same time, to me, that sounds kind of credible, you know, that there would have been a satellite or a cell phone link over there once he was near Diego Garcia, and it could have been able to actually make that phone call. And the other thing is that when I, like, posted that on Facebook, a link to the story about that that IBM executive, that I had someone come out, you know, relatively quickly and say, oh, this is disinformation, da-da-da, and that person kind of, I looked at that person, I thought, this guy's a shill, you know, because he was one of these people that kind of came out of nowhere, didn't have a whole lot of friends, you know, and I thought, So, you know, the more protesting, you know, you hear when you say, you know, you say something sensitive and you get this reaction, it kind of reaffirms the plausibility of whatever it is that
you're
hitting. Exactly. You're touching a nerve.
I agree.
I'm really leaning towards this Diego Garcia, whether or not, and a lot of people have been saying that there's nowhere to hide a plane like that. They don't have the hangars. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, certainly a lot of they've got huge aircraft, B-1 bombers, et cetera, just sitting out in the open. So sure, they possibly couldn't have hidden this thing, but, you know, we do control the satellites, like you say, the National Reconnaissance Office and all that, and they could have flown that thing there, offloaded all the passengers and crew, if they were still alive at that point, and put some extra fuel on there and flown it off and crashed it over there by Australia, like where they're saying the debris field is that they're looking at. So who knows? And then, of course, there's this whole issue with Israel, and you know, I mean, there's allegations right now that the plane has been spotted at Kandahar. There's also allegations that there is a duplicate of this plane that's in a hangar in Tel Aviv, and that supposedly this is going to be loaded up with explosives and crashed into Israel or something as some sort of a false flag 9/11 type of event. So it's hard. I mean, clearly. Just about any time anything like this happens, we almost have to assume that it is a false flag of some sort, either to and again, any time they do anything like this, there's always multiple motives and agendas. So we'll spend all our time arguing about potential motives and agendas when we're all right.
And then I was thinking too. I mean, it's said that we, you know, already have the technology to cloak aircraft. So couldn't that even be a possibility? You know, if they don't have a hangar for it or something, could it not, you know, be cloaked? I mean, there's plenty. Go ahead.
There's a good possibility, too, because, I mean, even at Area 51, on the S4 area where there's supposed to be a hangar there, but you can't see it. It looks like a mountain, basically, so you cannot see the entrance. So it is completely cloaked that you can't even notice it's there. It just looks like, you know, regular part of the side of the mountain. So, yeah, it could be very well like that, too, because even on the island there, I know there was, like, several bunkers on the southern part of the island, and then there is what looks like, it does look like a hangar, and there's a B-52 next to it, actually, that I've noticed. I've been looking at it through Google Earth, actually, so... So it could be there. It's big enough to hold an aircraft. So that's a possibility. That's where they might be.
Interesting.
Yep.
What's your thoughts, Stephen?
I agree.
Like
I certainly think that there's no reason why they couldn't have some hangar or something, you know, clandestine built there. I mean, even if you look at all the greenery and whatnot, what's to say they couldn't come up with some sort of a camouflage that looked like a canopy?
Yeah.
You know, so right. Yeah. And you know, how good? I mean, it's like what do we have to actually? Unless we're gonna go fly over there in the Indian Ocean and take a look, I don't think we're gonna be able to. You know, it's not like Google is gonna help us out and give us the most recent pictures, right?
Right. Right, and if we wanted it, you know, if we don't want information to get out, I mean, it's easy enough to scrub and, you know, information just like they do on NASA and everything else. And, I mean, in fact, Renee at one point was doing the Google Earth or whatever, and he had found some entrances to underground bases. And then the next thing you know, they were all deleted out. And then
yeah.
He just happened to be, you know, looking again at another time. And what do you know? All of a sudden, it was there again. And he was able
yeah.
to pull it up and show us. You know, it's very, you know, very interesting. So, I mean, of course, I'm sure that it's not hard for our government to say, oh, we don't want anybody to know that. Let's just erase it out, you know. So anybody thinks they're smart enough to outsmart the government by looking at, you know, Google, of all places, that, you know,
well,
might actually,
you know,
give us some accurate information.
You know, we talk about all these issues, and we talk about, you know, the transition. We talk about, you know, the aliens and what have you. And I think that this is one of the reasons why I'm pushing so hard to get people to start thinking about this Hollow Earth issue, because this would definitely tie in a lot of loose ends that could help to explain a lot of what's going on in the world today, politically and metaphysically. And, you know, and again, the same thing with the Nazis. You know, if you look at the biggest, what is truly the biggest secret of the world right now is this Hollow Earth issue. And I know that with as much trouble as I've been stirring up talking about the underground bases and the various different, you know, NSA, Bilderberger Templar, stuff like that, when I talk about the Hollow Earth issue and New Schwabenland and the Nazi UFOs and all that, I get more, you know, it has more impact. These guys get more excited and freak out. You know, that's if you want to freak these guys out, that's what you do. You start talking about inner Earth. So this is why I've been really trying to focus on that issue, because I think that as people get more distracted by Malaysia Airlines, the Ukraine, you know, motherships, all this thing, they need to go back and realize that this technology has been around since the 40s, and it's not necessarily aliens. The humans have been doing it, and the political landscape that we think is in place today isn't a real accurate picture of what's really going on. So it's very important that people understand that the Nazis are alive and well, and a lot of the United States government is controlled. I mean, obviously the Zionists play a very big role, but it's very important that people understand that these Zionist entities and these Nazi characters actually do work side by side, and keeping everybody divided and polarized and confused is a major part of their strategy. and this has been going on for a long time. So the sooner we learn to not be manipulated by these polarizing influences, and we learn to have an open mind and take everything with a grain of salt, it's going to help us to, you know, come to terms with all these current events that are taking place that are leading to this disclosure.
Yeah, so. I agree. Well, for anybody who has questions, or if you'd like to talk about one of these topics or have an opinion, feel free to call tonight. I know that we were having some issues on people getting through on the other number, so you can call 818-461-8214. Just press the number 1 and you'll be transferred, and our producers will be happy to get you going. Also, if it looks like we've got some spammers in our chat, so we'll get rid of them as well. So I know that we've got a couple people in chat that definitely are wanting to call in, so go ahead and give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. So where was that underground entrance, Renee, that you had pulled up that we were talking about?
The one that was when I was underwater. It's right off of Santa Barbara. It is kind of like an oval shape structure. If you would look, I'll actually post this on the PPRS page on Facebook, what it looks like and everything. And I'll do the matchup of the map that actually shows where all the tunnels go through on the whole west side, and it actually leads to the exact same spot. As far as the entrance, it has to be near Vandenberg, because it's just slightly southwest of that, of Vandenberg. So when I spotted that, and I looked at it very closely, for quite some time to be sure if that was the case. And so after doing the extra research, and plus about, what, I guess about 20 years ago, I had a friend who was actually based toward that area, and there's actually a tunnel that goes from the base into the ocean.
I heard about
that,
city.
Yeah, like a big city. I mean, it's huge. They're able to drive trucks there, you know, semi-trucks. You can drive tanks there. I mean, it's huge. So when I found that out, and it kind of confirmed, you know, that's when I got my curiosity to try to look for it. And so when I did and just kind of did the calculations and compared it to this one map that, you know, shows where all the tunnels, you know, through Area 51 and so forth. And also it goes north through Fresno, then it comes up toward this direction in Sacramento. So it, you know, after doing that kind of research, it proved what I think it was actually true, what this guy was telling me. So it definitely has a lot of validity to it.
And so have you seen that one, Stephen, the one he's talking about?
I haven't, you know, the maps, no, but I've heard that there are some major tunnels for submarines right there off of the, you know, Southern California coast, so that certainly seems logical. And I know that there is a major submarine UFO base at Santa Catalina Island, which hooks up
right
to the structure under the Getty. So it's like if you look at the all of the underground structures of the United States, the one that's off of Santa Catalina Island is probably the westernmost base or terminus for the entire system over there.
Oh, wow. Very interesting.
Fun stuff.
Well,
huh?
So with the... Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's, as you said, I mean, there's underground bases everywhere. I mean, I've seen different maps that people have sent me, and, I mean, it's just crazy. Now, the topic of Hollow Earth, because I know somebody in chat put out, put up, one of your videos that you did about Hollow Earth.
Hopefully the one with all the graphics.
People who don't know about that. Right. Why don't you kind of go over that for people who, you know, don't know about the whole Hollow Earth, you know, theory. I mean, is this where, because of course in like science and everything, we were always taught that, you know, it's just all, you know, the very core, it's the, you know, the iron and metal and
iron
everything.
Iron core, and yeah, all that nonsense. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, you know, first of all, it's really important when you're embracing ideas like this to have an open mind and to not dismiss anything. And even if it sounds completely preposterous to you, you still have to file it away and visit it later and compile your own evidence and do your own homework. So, and when I tell you, if I come out and say, yeah, the earth is hollow, I'm not telling you that this is something that you need to believe, you know, just because I said so. I don't care who tells you anything. You need to go and you need to do your own research, your own homework, see if it resonates with you, file it away, and keep an open mind. And this is one issue that really, really applies to that. Now, you know, obviously, I've been on this road now over 20 years and been exposed to a lot of very, very incredible information. And again, I had to become an observer, and I had to learn how to file this information away without trying to come to any kind of conclusion as to the validity, you know, because you just can't do that. So,
right.
So the Hollow Earth issue certainly applies. But if you look at the physics involved, especially if you look at the work of Nassim Harriman. He describes the quantum physics and in relationship to the everything from the smallest particle to the largest mass, such as a black hole or a galaxy, what have you. And they all exhibit certain characteristics, energy characteristics, magnetic fields, and this and that. And it's when you look at the information that he provides, it's easy to understand how the Earth could actually have a ball of plasma in the center that would act like an internal sun. So this is one. Obviously, this is one of the major characteristics or the major factors that needs to be considered if you're going to try to look at the potential for something like this to actually be taking place. But the other thing that we also have to consider is that. You know, with the exception of the large gas planets, it's very possible that most of the planetary bodies out there, such as the Moon, Mars, Venus, and several others, they could all be hollow, like a massive geode. It's very, very likely. And you know, when we look at life forms, it's completely logical that advanced life forms would set up an internal existence because of the negative effects or the harmful radiations from the sun, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, even if we look at the story of the Anunnaki and the myth of Nibiru and what have you, we know that they supposedly live inside of that almost like a giant Death Star type thing. And clearly when we have these space telescopes and whatnot, we look at Mars, we've seen signs of ancient life, we've seen things that look like tube trains and transports and whatnot. And even the Moon, you know, they've done stuff where they have sent explosives to the Moon to cause dust to rise up in the atmosphere so that they could analyze it for water content, things like that. But they say when this happens that the Moon tends to ring like a bell, you know, as if it was hollow. So it seems to me to be pretty logical that yes, indeed. Now, if you look at the ancient mythology, I mean, certainly Hitler was a very firm believer in this, and he believed in these large I don't know if you want to call them Anunnaki, but big, tall, blonde, blue-eyed Aryan types that supposedly lived in the earth, and this was the basis for all of their legend. But, you know, these stories have been coming for a long time. You know, if you just look at our human history, you know, once you accept that we have these epochs, which tend to correspond with the planet passing through the photon belt, you know, every 20,000 years or something like that, which causes a massive loss of life on the surface of the Earth, this tends to also correspond with entities from the inside coming up and rescuing large contingents of the population of the surface, kind of like supposedly happened long ago with Atlantis. You know, and again, Atlantis is only the last epoch, and to a lot of people today, we look at that as just a myth. But it's possible that this epoch change, has happened here on this earth. Who knows? 100,000, a million times, and these entities that live on the inside have essentially seen this happen and have rode this process out for a long, long time. So, all of our politics, all of our perspectives and understanding of the nature of reality in the universe completely get thrown out once we have to accept that there may be life inside the Earth that have been living here much, much longer than we have. And that's not all. I mean, if you look at Admiral Byrd, I mean, you know, Admiral Byrd is a very respected polar explorer, and he allegedly flew an airplane actually into the center of the Earth, looked around, and flew back. And, you know, he actually published his report, and I think it was a newspaper in Argentina was the only media source that actually reported his story. And from what I understand, they tossed him in a mental hospital, you know, kind of like they do to all these guys, you know. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's something very normal that they do.
Yeah. And you know, the Nazis, they certainly were up to something. And in 1938, they had staked out something like 600,000 square kilometers of Queen Maud's land and called it New Swabia. So, you know, if you look at Google Earth, like you're saying, and you try to go down to Queen Maud's land over there in Antarctica, you're not going to see anything. It's just going to be all white. You know, and you can't tell me that since 1938 up until 1945, the Germans had a constant string of cargo ships taking personnel and equipment down to their base over there in Antarctica. So where is it today? Where is all that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so strange that, you know, it's like, of course, we have these people who are in the military or hold very high positions, you know, and it's like as long as they keep quiet about everything, everything's good. If they finally have had enough and they disclose anything, you know, like you said, they'll either end up in a, you know, mental facility, they'll end up, you know, committing quote-unquote suicide, they have this mysterious accident or death or heart attack or, you know, all these things. And it's like, you know, people would need to think, like, why would these people have any reason to, like, lie about this kind of stuff? You know, I mean, we've seen throughout time that, like, astronauts and these people in the military, you know, because of the consequences, would not say anything until they were, like, in their 80s or 90s. And then all of a sudden they would give these deathbed confessions because they at that point just were on their deathbed, so they didn't care. You know, it's like, what are you going to do to me now? And it's just, we've been, go ahead.
Well, we should definitely, for your listeners, we need to bring up the name James Forrestal. Okay, he was our first Secretary of Defense after World War II. He was originally a Secretary of War, and they reorganized it after World War II, and they called it Secretary of Defense, Defense Department. And he was also one of the original 12 members of the Majestic 12, which was set up to deal with the alien issue after Roswell. And he was obviously a very high-profile government official, very highly respected government official, but he was also a Christian. And because of his religious beliefs, he felt that it was wrong for the government or whoever to go into a treaty with these extraterrestrials without letting the American public know what was going on and keeping it secret. And he was he fought with the other members of the panel to basically make this information public. And because of that, they took him to Bethesda Naval Hospital and booked him into a room on the 12th floor and subsequently tossed him out the window. So if they could do that to the Secretary of Defense, you know, they won't think twice of doing that to an average person.
Right. Right. Without a doubt, without even second thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, just, again, it just... It's so mind-blowing, you know, all of the lies that are thrown around, and so many false flags, and, you know, it's just, I think that we are being so bombarded, you know, with things that, you know, things we want to believe, things that we don't want to believe could be true, you know, then we see proof that, you know, yes, it is true, and we don't want to believe it. I mean, I just think that for a lot of people, it is so overwhelming. Like, they just don't even know what to think anymore. And I almost feel like that's the goal, is to have people just so confused that, you know, it's like anything that happens, it's just like, it's like that'll be like the kill shot for us, you know? I mean, then we'll just... feel like, okay, even though we believe that the government is doing all this, if something major, you know, dramatically happens, of course, you know, then they're going to jump up and say, oh, we're going to save you, you know, and come to the FEMA camp, you know. And we were talking about this actually the other day. I had done a show about the FEMA camps and things that were going on, and there were being children that were being actually prepped, you know, that if something was to happen, you know, they would get on the buses and the buses would take them to the quote-unquote reunification camps. And, you know, they were said, you know, you would be reunified with your parents there, your family, in the case of a major disaster or something. And I started thinking about it. I thought, you know, that's actually pretty darn smart, because I was asking a lot of people who I know who are very on to all of this. You know, we all pay attention. We all talk about this, you know, and people want to say conspiracy theories, but I it's far from a conspiracy theory anymore. I mean, it's plain as day. And I thought, okay, for the people who say, you know, I know what a FEMA camp is, I know what's happening, you know, the barbed wire is facing, you know, inwards instead of outwards, so it's to keep people in, not out. If all of this is happening, you know, they would never go there, right? They might go for their bunkers, they might run to the hills, they might, whatever their plan is. But if you've got children and your children are taken from the school during anything that would happen, and I would assume it would probably, the best time for it to target would be during the daytime hours when children would be at school, and they were bused there, how many parents are going to actually leave their children in a FEMA camp and go take their chances living somewhere else? And most of the parents that I asked, it kind of blew them away, because they hadn't really thought about it, and they were like, you know, you're right. I don't know, knowing what I know about what goes on in these FEMA camps and things like that, I don't know that I could leave my child there. Like, then they'd have to rethink the whole plan. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, I'm sure you've heard about, you know, the schools, especially on the East Coast. I mean, it was a big thing, and many of the listeners were actually sending me, you know, stuff from the schools and, you know, calling me or messaging me and emailing me, you know, oh, I found out through my child today that they were having drills and, you know, where they were actually putting them on the buses and, you know, I mean, that's some scary stuff.
Pretty damn screwed up, huh?
Screwed
up. All right, well, obviously I have 6 kids, and so that certainly strikes close to home. But at the same time, as a warrior, I know that having family and having children is one of the greatest weaknesses, and they certainly do use that against you. And it's very difficult to have a warrior and have people that you love close to you because they can be used against you to stifle your ability to fight. So right. I have to. I've had to let
it
go.
That's not the first time it happened.
No, they. That's definitely part of the MO.
Yeah, because that's worked in Germany as well. You know, in Hitler's army, try to get the youth involved in situation, even to turn in their parents. So.
Right.
Again, it's the same kind of process today. So.
Well, I want to point out something, you guys. There's something that I want to point out that's a little bit that's somewhat related that I definitely want to get people to think about, and that is the use of the class structure and manipulating and polarizing people via classes to institute these programs. For instance, what they're going to do, and this is the same thing the Nazis did, obviously, is that they will start, when they fill up the FEMA camps, they're going to start at the lowest rungs of the social ladder. And as we know, we've heard the stories that homeless people are now being rounded up and sent to FEMA camps. They're basically being told that, you've got one choice, jail or a FEMA camp, and, they're feeding them horse meat and everything else. So.
Right.
And this gives them the opportunity to practice their incarceration skills and practice their mass execution skills and see how far they can get away with executing massive amounts of homeless people. It's going to happen. But the other thing that they're going to do is that they will go into the lower end neighborhoods, the barrios, the ghettos, and what have you. And that is where they're going to start. They're going to basically create a false flag incident or some sort of a riot, kind of like, what's going on in Albuquerque right now and situations like that. I know we had a big riot here in Anaheim not that long ago, and it was predominantly in the lower income areas. And I know that a lot of people, middle class types, we'll look at a situation like that and they'll say, oh, it's those darn Mexicans, or it's those darn blacks, or it's those darn ghetto dwellers. They're acting up and they're being criminal and, gangbangers and all this nonsense. And they will use these polarizing issues to get the people to go along with it. And once they've used this to encircle neighborhoods and to basically round up all the guns and round up the troublemakers and ship them off to the FEMA camps, they're going to move up the social ladder. So, it's the exact same thing they did in Germany, and they're going to do it here. And, where is it going to end? It's going to end with all the supporters, the Obama supporters, the anti-gun. It's the same thing that happened in the Soviet Union. With the Bolshevists, they, after so long, they begin to eat their own, right?
Right, right.
So it's only a matter of time. It's almost like when you look at what's going on with the military, clearly our military is being used in very heinous ways. And at the same time, look at the horrible ways they're treating the veterans and cutting their meals and cutting their shutting down the PXs and taking away their retirement benefits and all this nonsense. It's insane. It's almost like they're trying to provoke our own military to revolt.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, and I remember, I've got some people I know who are in the military, and there was actually a petition that went around a while ago, and I don't, maybe you remember, Renee, when I was talking about this, maybe, I don't know, a year ago, was it? They were sending this petition around, or questionnaire, and they were asking, the troops that are here, if war was to break out here, and you were given the command, to shoot U.S. citizens, whether it be men,
right,
women, or children, would you follow orders? Would you do it? And they said something like 80% of them said no, and which didn't surprise me. But the next thing we know, we saw foreign troops being trained because and people say, well, why would they do that? And, you know, for me, it's no different. When we sent our troops to the Middle East, and they're murdering, you know, not only men but women and children, and they're justifying it because they're saying, you know, it's a different, they're different, you know, the children and the women are, you know, terrorists as well, and they're suicide bombers, and, you know, that's the only way you can do it, and all this kind of stuff, right? We were dealing with all this, and our troops would go and they would kill these people, and which is part of the reason I think that they came back a lot of times very screwed up in the head because of all of this, you know, traumatic. So why not go and get, you know, people, you know, from other countries, you know, that would maybe not kill their own people, but don't have a problem killing another country's people?
Well, even the UN was practicing here, too. So, you know, they don't have to follow by the same laws as, you know, the soldiers here with the Constitution and so forth. So they go by a whole different set of rules.
Posse comitatus,
exactly.
No
kidding. I believe we have a caller that just got patched through. Caller, are you there?
You and me, White.
Hey, how are you?
Me, White. I'm good.
Great. I'm sorry that you were on hold for so long.
It's a light.
All right, so is this You're David?
Like, yes.
All right. So you were saying in chat that you had an experience or a sighting of a UFO recently?
Yes, in February, around the mid area of February, like on a weekend.
Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
It was like between 8 and 9 o'clock, so at that time period, and I just happened to feel like I had to look up, and when I did, you know, did see a hovering craft in the sky with about 11 blinking red and blue lights, and it slowly was moving to the west southwest.
Oh, wow.
It was in my sight for like about 10, maybe 15 minutes before it got beyond the tree line where I cannot see it no more. I estimated it to be about maybe a 1,000, 2,000 feet up in the sky, somewhere in that area. And from how high it looked, and I estimated it probably was like somewhere around the 500, around in the 100 area foot length, you know?
Oh, wow, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, and recently I've been like having these feelings like, there's something near me, but yet I can't see it. Like it's in a different dimension, but yet can see me.
Very, very possible. I mean, when you think that, it makes a lot of sense. And, I mean, have you been seeing crap for a long time, or did this just suddenly start happening?
Well, I believe I saw one, like, around Christmas time. It was an extremely small dot in the sky, and it was around midday, and we were very far away, where no one else but me actually noticed it.
Okay. Now,
I mean,
here's another question for you.
Yeah?
When you have seen these, have you had a feeling that something is there, and then it's like, then you look up, or what is, you know, or do you watch the skies a lot, or I mean, what do you feel before you see these craft?
As in, like, the sky is calling for me, and recently, when at nighttime, I always look up in the sky just about.
And has that been for a long time? Have you been doing that for a long time?
Yeah, I've been, like, also trying to locate more craft in the sky, and I believe that craft I saw in February had something to do with what I heard that one morning when I, just before I woke up, when I heard look for our ship.
Wow. Well, that's pretty,
yeah.
I mean, again, that absolutely, you know, could be. I mean, Renee, you know, what's your thoughts too? I mean, because I know that a lot of times we will notice that when people start having sightings, you know, it's like after they have them, it's like all of a sudden they almost seem to know. You know, not only is their curiosity piqued, you know, so that they're watching, but they seem to get this feeling that, you know, like with me growing up.
It's like making the psychic connection, that for some reason that they are connected in some way. I know we've talked about it before, about down following families at times, and sometimes they pick certain individuals because they're more susceptible to receive them without judgment. Because they don't just, you know, pop up to anyone. Because you can be in a crowd of people looking at the sky at the same time, and only one person will actually see something. Because they make the psychic connection between that and the craft itself. So that's a very strong possibility. Because, you know, you could be laying in bed, and for some reason you wake up and just drawn to the window to go see what was out there. And a lot of times we hear about people who actually suddenly hear a craft take off right after they just woke up. There's
right.
a very strong possibility there that you have a connection there.
Well,
oh, yeah, and recently I have been drawing more and more symbols. Some of them look like sorts of alike. Like a six-pointed star with a circle in the middle, and then with each point there's a circle on each corner.
Interesting. David, could you send me, you know, maybe a picture of what you've drawn, and Renee and I can take a look at it? Because I think there may be a little bit more to what's going on, but I'd like to see some of the drawings, the symbols that you're seeing in your drawing, so that I'll know more for sure or not what I'm picking up.
Okay.
Would you be able to do that? Because you're connected with me on Facebook, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so if you could send it to me on Facebook, or even you could post it on my page if you want, and Renee and I will take a look at it, and I'll definitely get back to you and let you know what I think. But, you know, there could be a lot more to this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my
I
feeling.
Agree.
What are your thoughts, Stephen? I mean...
Well, I was going to ask him if he experienced any missing time, because usually that's you see something like that, you kind of then you become aware that, wait a minute, it's an hour has passed and I don't remember doing anything or something of this nature. So
right.
That and any,
so
any
David,
kind of
have
funny.
You had any?
Huh?
No.
Are you there, David?
Missing time.
Not that I can recall. But usually when I see the craft, I'm like walking around at night, and I usually don't have no watch on me, you know?
Okay. Well, that might be a good thing to, you know, maybe pay more attention to as well. Like when you're out, you know, walking, you know, like before you leave, take a look and see what time it is, you know, and kind of intermittently glance down at your watch. And if you do see something up in there, try to, you know, mentally remind yourself to take a look at the time. Because I'm just, what I'm picking up when I'm talking to you is that, you know, possibly you have had contact in one form or another. Because a lot of times we do see that, you know, when people start having multiple, you know, interaction and as you said, kind of almost feeling like they're calling you from above, and then you start all of a sudden, you know, writing these interesting symbols and things, and you don't really know why. It kind of, you know, is making me feel that what I'm picking up on it is that. But, you know, I don't want to, you know, say for sure. I'd really like to see, like I said, the drawing first and then, you know, and see what I get off of the picture itself and that. I might be able to give you a little
and
bit more help
also
then.
Also that night when I saw the craft, after I walked home, I looked out on the porch again and went into a trance-like state where I started to walk down the road, but luckily my little brother called out to me, and that snapped me out of it. It was like I was following something, sort of like that, or going to something.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, in that actually then, you know, even makes a lot more sense of what I'm picking up. So, I mean, that absolutely could be. You know, maybe you have had contact, you know, or have been taken or whatever. But obviously, you know, if you were in a trance-like state, you know, after seeing that, you know, you're just kind of following, you know, down the road. I mean, thankfully that, you know, your little brother was there and he was able to kind of yell your name and startle you enough to bring you awake and remember that. But, you know, I want to thank you for sharing your story tonight. I'm sorry it took us so long to get you on. We were trying to deal with, you know, the chat issues. But if you can, if you can send me, go ahead.
Also, sometimes I like parts of my body start to have like pressured feeling, like something is pushing down on them from like the inside. Like they're trying to upgrade me or something like that.
Well, again, I think there is definitely more to your story, you know, than you realize, or maybe you do realize it. Now, like I said, if you can send me some of the pictures of the stuff, the symbols and stuff that you've been, you know, compelled to start writing. I can look over that, and you know, maybe Renee and I can have you on a show, one of the upcoming shows, and tell you what we think is going on. How about that?
That sounds like a good thing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, David,
also,
for calling in. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I also am trying to get a way for me to go do a self-hypnosis thing or something similar to that, so I could recover more of my memories that I lost.
Right, right. Yeah, and regression is something definitely that we can talk to you, you know, off air about as well. So we do have some connections with that part. But so send those to me, and I will message you on Facebook either later tonight or tomorrow and let you know what we come up with. And I'll help you with the other stuff, okay?
Okay,
all right,
thank you
so much.
Have
a nice
night.
You too. All right, you know, very interesting when our callers come in, you know, call in with their stories. I mean, they're always, to me, they're so interesting, and we're starting to hear a lot more reportings of things just like this. It's so interesting.
It's nice to have that avenue or somewhere to turn to, because I know it's hard for people I had experience years ago, but they're afraid to come out about it. So it's nice to have that outlet for people to come out and talk about their experience, you know, because we don't judge them or anything. We just, you know, listen to what they have to say, and we try to do what we can to try to help them. But sometimes it doesn't, you know, they don't know how to really cope with it or what to do about it. So, yeah, it's nice having this outlet like we do.
Right. I was looking in chat, and, you know, when we were, before we got our caller, we were talking about, you know, our troops not wanting to fire on our own citizens and, you know, bringing in foreign troops and stuff. And Eric Johnston, you know, one of our longtime listeners, was saying, you know, the troubling thing is, you know, they're having foreign troops exercise right here in the U.S. with American forces. And it says, I heard that a few months back on the news, it said, scary. And then Robin Scott, which is actually on our team, she says, for what little they care about the Constitution, they can't use U.S. troops in our country, but nothing saying we can't bring in troops from other countries or from the U.N. You know, and again, do you think this is just a part of the plan, Stephen, you know, where they're trying to see, you know, how much control they have of our, you know, of our troops and, you know, how much they've brainwashed them into doing, you know, whatever it is that they're commanded to do. For me, it gives me a little bit of hope that, you know, if as far as our troops, that if it was up to them, that, you know, the majority of them would not, you know, turn against their own citizens. So it kind of shows me that, you know, our troops are starting to kind of understand this as well. But then you turn around and they go out and they're going to get, you know, foreign troops to, you know, do their bidding. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think that helps or our government, or do you think it hurts their plans?
I think that their plans are doomed to fail, and I think that, yes, we do have Russian, Chinese, NATO troops here, and for instance, we have been flying in plane loads full of Russian ammunition and Russian magazines for AK-47 rifles, and these are not for American troops, and these are not for training. These are for these foreign troops to use on the American people when they get here. And it's funny, because of the situation in the Ukraine, all of a sudden now you have Obama saying, okay, we're not going to bring in any more of this Russian ammunition. It's like here he is getting ready to go to war with Russia, and suddenly his plans to using Russian troops to enforce his NATO gun ban or his UN small arms treaty is being shown for what it is. And so, you know, you've got these Marxist carpetbagger usurpers in government, you know, that are doing everything they can to destroy this country from within. And yet when it starts to turn on them, then they try to back out of it, you know, and it just shows you just how completely incestuous all this nonsense is. It's just like you've got the soldiers in Afghanistan fighting the Taliban, and then you've got, you know, these idiots in Congress and the government trying to actually arm the very same Taliban, Al-Qaeda people fighting in Syria. So, you know, so the hypocrisy is just stunning. And the obviously the American military, you know, large portions of the military are flat out ready to revolt. And the other thing is, this is one of the reasons why they're going to so much drones and what have you, and robots, you know, everything they can to take the decisions out of the rank and file troops.
Right.
Yeah, it's you know, for me, it's just, I don't know, it's like, here we're having all these issues, but yet we're bringing in foreign, you know, troops. I would just think that, you know, if, like, I see all the time, and in fact, I've seen with my own eyes. I live very close to a railroad, you know, yard, and there are military tanks and Humvees and all kinds of stuff that goes through the Sacramento area all the time. And I'm not talking just a couple. I'm talking, you know, they go on for miles and miles and miles. And it's not just here. I see videos going up on YouTube and on the Internet every day about, you know, how all the transportation of, you know, all this war, you know, stuff is coming. Now all of a sudden, you know, we're getting these all the different tanks and the Humvees and all these the different things that we're using in war that are showing up and being plastered with FEMA stuff, you know, and you know, some of the police departments have these, you know, the same equipment. And it's like, okay, well, why would our why would our police departments and things need these things? And why in the world does FEMA need stuff like this?
Well, yeah. FEMA with their billion hollow point bullets, yeah. Not for target practice.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well,
and
something
you've
got to consider, guys. All right.
Okay,
well, I just want to say this real quick. You know, you talk about all the military hardware that's being distributed to the law enforcement right now, especially with the sheriff's departments. And that could go both ways because, you know, clearly if it gets down to it, we have foreign troops or we have military on the soil. There's a good chance that a lot of our police officers and especially people in the sheriff's departments, what have you, county governments, are actually going to choose to defend the Constitution and to stand up for the public. So when you see the U.S. government putting all this military hardware in the hands of law enforcement, trying to militarize our police forces, it's almost like this could go both ways. Sure, it's easy for us to see that this is being used to suppress the people, but at the same time, it's almost like they're doing this to prop up those very same people that would probably defend us in the future. And it's very reminiscent of Clone Wars. If you look at Star Wars, you know, like sometimes a Star Wars movie is a good way to try to illustrate how we create our own enemies. So, you know, certainly like they created their clones and they turned out to be the bad guys, and you know, it's the same thing with Al-Qaeda. We had to create our own Al-Qaeda enemy, and domestically it'll be the same thing. You know, in other words, if before they can bring overwhelming force down upon the civilians, they're going to want to have something to use to justify that. And certainly a bunch of civilians with rifles, AR-15s, are not going to require drones and Hellfire missiles and M1 tanks. But so if they prop up some of our local law enforcement with some Humvees and some mine-resistant vehicles, then they can use that once those start to be used in our own defense. Then these entities will say, oh well, look, we can justify the use of high explosives now because they have much more formidable defenses. So you know, it's like the Rothschilds giving money to both sides in the war. It's the same situation. In order to have maximum bloodshed, they need to make sure that it's a somewhat even fight, so that there's going to be plenty of death on both sides.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that, you know, and I've been saying this for a while now, I mean, I definitely feel that something is coming, and I feel that it's coming soon, quickly. There's people out there that, you know, are saying that there are alien races out there that, you know, are coming in to try to help and protect us. I think that the problem is that with all of the confusion, we're not going to know which way to turn. Who are the good people and who are the bad people? You know, the government that are going to profess to be here to save us are actually going to, if it'll be the bad people that are going to be the ones trying to kill us and capture us. Then we've got, you know, alien forces of good and bad. So, you know, which ones? Because somebody said the other day, you know, if a mothership came down and, you know, it was ready to beam you up and gave you an option, would you go? And I said, oh, absolutely, I'd go. And then they started thinking, well, what about if it, you know, was somebody wanting to, it was, you know, bad forces. And I was like, well, crap, I guess I'd make the wrong decision. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you think that, you know, there's going to be, you know, a bin war just here on Earth within our governments? Or do you think that this is just like another big piece of the chaos to confuse everybody and use these, you know, all these things
all right.
You know, control us off and control us.
You know, we're getting to a time where there is a possibility of going into all sorts of different directions and different timelines. If you believe in the transition and you believe that that we have the ability to create our own reality, then certainly there is going to come to a point to where what we manifest is going to be what happens. So in other words, if there is a timeline that involves destruction, chaos, and calamities here on Earth, then certainly that is one particular timeline that certain people will embrace that may cause to become reality for those people. Other people may embrace a different timeline and they may experience something else. So this is very important. So I don't want, even though I personally am expecting horrendous things to happen, at the same time, it's very important that even with all this information we presented tonight, and this is really a good time to bring this up because you're getting towards the end of the show,
right.
is that
right.
it is very, very important that people understand that we do have immense power and we do have immense ability to manifest and to shape the reality of what's going on around us. And this is why it is so darn important to have an open mind and to understand that we do have this power, and it's very, very important that we don't have fear, and we do not have fear of the future, and we have to learn to let go of the past, live for today, forget, you know, stop worrying about the future. You got to stop having fear of death, fear of loss of possessions, all this disruption that we're looking forward to or anticipating. We have to embrace that and learn to observe it as it happens and not allow it to control us and consume us with fear, because that is what is going to screw up our lives and take away our power to create a reality that doesn't involve all of these negative things. So
I think that is probably, you know, one of the most important things, because I say this a lot on, you know, even on my page and when I talk all the time, you know, is we have to start thinking more positive. You know, there, you can always find things negative going on, you know, not that you got to, like, just say, oh, it's, you know, pretend it's not happening, but, you know, whatever is to be is going to be, but we don't want to feed the negativity and manifest it, you know, into our own reality. As you said, you know, I'm one of those people, I do not fear breathe. I mean, fear death. When it's my time, it's my time, I'm okay. You know, people are so connected to, you know, worrying about, like, the loss of their new car or their TV they just bought or their new home or things like that. They're, you know,
children
afraid of all the what ifs. Yeah, exactly. Children, they didn't, you know, all the different things. And it literally, you know, like wraps you up and binds you up, you know, to the point you feel like you can't even breathe, you know, because there's so much fear and just not understanding. And you know, people say, oh, you're sick, you know, how can you have such a positive outlook with the world crumbling around us? And, you know, and it's one of the things, I don't feel sorry for myself. I don't look at it that way. I live every day as if it's going to be my last. I try to find something, you know, positive out of every single day. And even the things that happen around me that are negative, I always try to learn something positive out of it. And I will tell you, when you do that, it really does change your surroundings, you know, and what happens around you. And I guess people it's hard for people to understand that because, again, just like you said at the beginning of the show, people always want proof. You know, it's like they want you to be able to show it to them, you know. And I tell people, like, they'll say, oh, I'm depressed, I have no money, I have no this, I have no that. And I'm like, but you woke up today. And they say, well, yeah, but I woke up to have no money and no this and no that. And, you know, and I'm like, and you got people who love you. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, love doesn't pay my bills. And, yeah, I just said, you know, happiness is perception. You know, so if, you know, you have a certain way of way you want things to be and it's not that way, you're constantly going to be depressed. You're constantly going to be
Dad, you're going to be pulled under, stressed out, all of these things. But if you can look for the positive things, you know, in life and around you, and there are plenty of them, but people just would rather stay focused on things. That's why I don't watch a lot of, you know, like mainstream, you know, media and television and the news, because every time you turn around, all it is negative. Oh, you don't see anything positive in the news,
yeah,
ever. And I think that it adds to us. You know, we look at our music, television, everything. You know, it's like people can't even be happy anymore. They're so drugged down. So I think that you're absolutely right. I do think that we need to, you know, accept whatever, you know, is. Look forward, you know, to each day that we have. Find some positive things out of it. But also to be aware and to be, you know, knowledgeable about what is going on, you know. But do your research. Do your own homework. You know, find your own things. Don't just listen to what, you know, everything you see on the Internet, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, this has definitely been, you know, a great conversation. Before we finish the show up, we still got about 10 minutes, but I do want to give you an opportunity to, Dave, I'm sorry, David, he was just messaging me on chat. If, Stephen, if you'd like to give out where people can find you, or listen to your radio show, or contact you if they'd like to
questions
or interact with you.
All right, well, first of all, the name is Stephen D. Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y. If you Google me, you can get all of my videos and different radio shows, and I am on Revolution Radio, which is www.freedomslips.com, Studio A, and my main show is on Thursday, and I've actually got Courtney Brown on tomorrow, and that's 10 p.m. Eastern at Studio A on freedomslips.com. So that's going to be an interesting show, and I'm on the air about 3 or 4 days a week, you know, doing roundtables and whatnot. Anybody want to send me an email, it's law17gun at AOL.com. That's law17gun@AOL.com. And I have a book, and if you want to get a copy of my book, just send me an email. And if you have any questions, that's a good way, you know, to get a hold of me. And also join my Facebook page. I've got room for another 1,000 people on the Facebook page, so certainly I'm welcome anybody that's listening to just go ahead and send me a friend request. And I will talk to you. If you send me an email or message me on Facebook, I will talk to you. So,
awesome. I really appreciate, you know, and I will tell you, as I said, Stephen is a friend of mine, and I tell you, every time I saw him before we became friends, he's always so friendly. I mean, you've always been so nice when I've, you know, seen you at conferences. Do you have any conferences or anything coming up?
No, I don't know what's going on. Nobody invites me to any conferences. I guess I don't play well with others or something. I don't know.
Well, we're gonna have to do something about that, because I think, you know, with all the great things that you have to say, like, that's, it's definitely important. I mean, I know that your show is, you know, taken off. You've got a great following, and, you know, I always told you, I always knew that you would. It's something about the information that, you know, you give, and it is very fun.
It is fun. It is a very exciting when people resonate and respond to the message and come back and actually repeat things that I say. It's great. So, yeah, I love it. I'm not doing this for any money. Everybody out there needs to know. And I'll tell you one thing. I did a show the other night, and I was talking about the Illuminati, and somebody came along and said, oh, I was an Illuminati puppet. And I'm thinking, doesn't that require getting paid? I mean, I'm not getting any money for this. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've had to give up just about everything to be able to do what I'm doing today. That's all they can do. And, you know, this is kind of an issue that, you know, I'm going to try to touch this real quick, but, you know, the people that have fear, they have fear of losing their jobs and losing their family and losing their possessions. Well, that's all they can take away from you. And once you lose all that stuff, you know, you're pretty much, you know, untouchable. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. So short of shooting me, I mean, they've done just about everything else, right?
Absolutely. And you know, as you said, I feel the same way. I do everything that I do have done in the past and will do in the future, you know, has always been for free. I don't get anything from it. it's the point that this is, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, this is my part. This is, you know, thankfully, you know, there are people who are very drawn, you know, to all of us, and they want to hear what we have to say. And so I feel like we can get out there. We have platforms to be able to spread this information, and it's important information. And, you know, I would do it over and over. I mean, it's, for me, nothing has ever been about the money. It's always been, you know, what's behind it and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I definitely, I love what I'm doing. And, you know, whatever risks come with it, you know, I knew when I signed up for it. So, you know, whatever is to be is to be. That's, I'm prepared and okay with that. Renee, we've got about 5 minutes left. Do you have any questions, you know, you want to ask Stephen that you haven't already talked about?
He's more than welcome to play in our playground anytime, so you'll feel free to come
absolutely.
To our show. Because there's so much to discuss, and we can only discuss in a couple hours. We enjoy your company on the show with all the information you have. It's been really great having you here.
Well, Christine, you know how to get a hold of me, and if you want to get together and do this again, I'm certainly more than happy to join you. It's always fun. So let me
great.
Know.
I definitely will, and we will absolutely have you back, because, as you know, there are so many topics that we could talk about, but of course, you know, even 2 hours, it just never seems like it's enough time. Like, there's so many things to talk about. We can go on and on and on. So I'm going to have to pick a few more really good topics that are coming up and people, you know, here want to hear about, and I will definitely bring you back. I love having you.
Well, let me just ask people real quick, if I was going to say one thing, try to look at my Hollow Earth video that I put up on YouTube, and it's an interview from the show, of course, but I created a video with a bunch of graphics that really helps to explain a lot of the things, the information that's in there. So if you Google my name again on YouTube and sort everything for the most recent upload, look for the one that says Hollow Earth, Nazi bases, and Operation High Jump.
Actually, so. I have it, and I'm going to not only post it in chat right now for everybody, you guys can copy and paste it into your own browsers, but I'm also going to put it on the Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond page. So if anybody would like to take a look at the video there, I'll make it available there. So, absolutely go and check it out. It is amazing, amazing video. Make sure to go on there, leave them some comments, good thumbs up. I mean, it's some great work.
Oh, yes,
so
please.
Thank you for putting that together.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, everybody. Well, next week we are going to have abductee contactee Debbie Tripp, and she is going to be coming and talking about her experiences. So it's going to be another amazing show. And the week after, we have a very – I'm not going to say his name yet, but Renee and I were contacted recently through another friend of mine, somebody who is having not only a lot of paranormal stuff going on, but he absolutely had been abducted, and his story is just mind-blowing. The stuff that this guy's gone through, I had to put it on speakerphone, and Renee and I were both listening, and we were just blown away. So he is going to be our special guest here in the next couple of weeks, and you definitely don't want to miss that show. So as always, you know, make sure to go to our Facebook, Alien UFOs and Beyond page. Make sure to like the page and give us some feedback on what you would like to hear on our show, because this is the whole reason we do this show, is to give you, the audience and listeners, what you want to hear. So let us know what topics you like. You can always private message either Renee or I. And if you want to send an email, you can contact me at paranormalinvestigator916@gmail.com. And not sure any other updates. We do have a Skywatch in Sacramento that's going to be happening very soon. So we're going to be doing that. We are thinking about possibly live streaming it while we're there, because we do have some amazing equipment, and it gets connected to a big 52-inch screen television, and so that everybody can see what we're seeing. It's almost kind of like watching a NASA video, but in a park or wherever we do it at. I always love that thing. I'm telling you, it's great. But we're going to be doing that, so we'll be putting up information for that. So if you live in the Sacramento area or the surrounding area, we would love to have you come out and join us